Hi, you're listening to Kate
and Catherine,
and we're going to show you how to find your Prince Charming so that you can finally live happily ever after, forever and ever.
No.
We are definitely not going to do that.
We are sick of that story, and it's a lie.
It is a lie.
You're listening to The New Truth, a modern woman's guide to extraordinary love.
We are going to show you how the fairy tale love story stops you from experiencing the love you truly desire.
Listen to hear how to break free from sacrifice and struggle in relationship.
And learn the new truth about love in a way that you've never heard it before.
We're so happy you're here. Keep listening.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the New Truth Podcast, Season 2, Episode 14. The three toxic beliefs about womanhood that hold you back from fulfillment. So Kate and I have a new system when we record that we have a good chunk of time hanging out with each other before we hit record. And it's been really, really, really beautiful lately because we're finding that, yes, we are influenced by all of you, the things that you write to us that you want us to talk about, things that are happening in our, you know, clients' lives. But now what's happening is we talk and then we realize what's happening in our lives and the things that we're thinking about and the people that we're inspired by. And we are so grateful. So she shared with me this morning that all of you are writing to her saying that you are loving season two.
All of them, like all the thousands.
We are loving season two also. And, you know, even though the gate in of the message has been the fairy tale, right? That fairy tale love is what's toxic. I see now that fairy tale love, like almost all that is toxic around love is toxic around womanhood, right? Messages like your fulfillment lies in a man, your purpose lies in being married, or you can only be happy until you're married. And when we
your
came
value
up,
is based on what you, look like and that you should stay looking 25 until you're 95.
Yes. And I, you know, when we came up with this title, the reason I said fulfillment is because I remembered our epic interview with Dr. Amanda, the midlife muse, where I essentially said, why are we chasing being happy? Right. And as a parent, I'm not saying, oh, I just want my daughter to be happy. It's I want my daughter to be whole. And that's what I want for all women, right? Wholeness and fulfillment, right? The ability to be with life and the truth of life, which is that things end and begin. Pain is a part of life, right? But that life can be fulfilling, right? In which you are have tremendous satisfaction and contentment and peace with how things are, right? That you have yourself no matter what is happening in your life or whatever is going on. And so we chatted for a bit and came up with these three things very, very fast. And so we're excited to talk to them. Talk about them with you. And I just really freaking love you. Like everyone needs a work wife. Yes.
Oh, me. I was like,
you, Kate.
To them or to
no,
me?
You, Kate. Everyone needs a work wife. Everyone needs a peer circle, like friendships where you're having these meaningful conversations. Like if we're not talking about this, what are you talking about? The Bachelor or the royal family? Yeah.
Or like what your boss, how your boss is shitty or your ex-husband sucks. That's most women's relationships are based in gossiping and complaining. Gossiping about famous people or gossiping about reality TV or gossiping about what's like who's pissing them off and who's doing them wrong or what in life shouldn't be. And I just think, I love that you said that because our relationship, I was just thinking of all the voice notes we've been sending lately. And how our relationship is like, let's keep up leveling together. And it's not just to do with the new truth. It's not just to do with our work in the world, but let's keep up leveling together. And what are you standing for? And what are you standing for? And what are you call it? Like I just feel so expanded from our conversations. And yet there's also such a vulnerability that we bring to them too.
And then support one another. Like I was thinking the difference between telling your friends what to do And when your friend is sharing something she's struggling with, because this is what I think is the one of the most powerful things about us, is when we say to each other, hey, I keep struggling with this thing, or this thing keeps coming up. We just speak to each other's higher self around it, right? We don't get in there and do like problem solving, whatever. It's like, hey, remember who you are. Okay, let's figure this out together. Okay, so what kind of support do you need around X? Or okay, I'll help you, right, with it, right? Yes. And bring what I know to be true. And that's why I think everyone loves both. We are so similar and we're so different. And that's what everyone loves about the podcast, right? Like hearing two different ways of being in the world. But I think women don't know how to, and this is the unspoken agreement that has to happen in female friendships, is you have to want to be growing. Right. Because if a woman is stuck and she doesn't want to grow, and then you come at her with like advice, right, or trying to inspire her higher self, that's one of the that's the toxic codependent engagement. If you're trying to fix and save and rescue her, but she doesn't actually want it. Right. So one of the gifts of our friendship is the assumption is we want to be growing. Like we want the feedback. We want to be inspired. We want to be reminded of our power. We go to each other to ask for feedback and support. Right. But inside of so many women that are speaking about meaningless shit, they don't want to change. Right. Yeah. So here's a reminder of, and I think you said everyone's doing this. Like now the season two episodes have more depth and weight to be shared, because it's not just, oh, my friends who are dating. It's like any woman in your life you're sharing these episodes with. And we appreciate that so much when you do that.
You know, as you're talking about what we do for each other, what we bring in relationship, I'm imagining like all the women whose friends do cheerlead them and do reflect what's possible. And yet if you're a victim of your circumstance and you are not, like, the only reason our reflections actually help each other is because we're already taking radical responsibility inside of our lives and ourselves and our relational challenges and whatever we're going through, we already are taking responsibility for our part. And that's why the reflection, we hear the reflection because we know it to be true, right? But imagining if you're a woman who's living out of alignment with who you really are, and your friends are like, oh, you shouldn't date this guy, he's treating you like shit, you're amazing, you're a powerful woman, you're so beautiful, why are you tolerating this? And you can't hear them. It's because you're not living from your sovereignty. It's because you're not owning your side of the street. It's because you're not taking responsibility for yourself and your patterns and for your life. Like the world we live in teaches us to just want quick fixes, magic pills to get a, but like we talked about in the other episode, dopamine hit, so that you can feel good momentarily. And so we keep, because of that, we tolerate all of these band-aids that actually don't ever get to the core. So if you're not devoted to yourself, you won't have friendships that are devoted in that way. Like it's such a mirror of where we're at within ourselves.
Oh my God, I'm so happy you said that. That was perfect. Because yes, right, we're asking from not fix it for me, but here's what I'm already thinking about, and then I bring it to you to deepen, right?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, so here we go. Toxic beliefs about womanhood, and of course, this is going to spill into how you're doing relationships, but we came up with the first one the fastest because this episode was one of our most popular episodes in 2023. And this belief is probably the most problematic one that leads to all of the dysfunctional behaviors of trying to be perfect, trying to prove yourself on dates, overworking and hustling and not being true to yourself. And that is the belief that you are not enough.
Yeah.
The number one toxic belief holding you back from fulfillment. Because if you don't believe you are enough, you're going to be swept by just about everything. Oh, buy this to be enough. Okay, cool. Oh, I should go on a million dates to find a boyfriend so that then I feel enough. Okay, I'll do that. Oh, good women do X, Y, Z. So now I have to do that, or I have to change how I look and have a ton of plastic surgery and stuff in my face in order to feel good enough. You know, if inside patriarchy is women are less than, right? The air we breathe is women are not enough. So the most revolutionary thing you can do, and this is what I appreciated about Dr. Amanda so much, is like self-love is not this cute thing. Okay. Like self-love is your protection from patriarchy. Like self-love is the thing that you get to take with you that keeps you from any dysfunctional behavior. It leads to you respecting yourself in your relationship. It leads you to asking for what you want in your relationship if you want more from your partner, right? It leads to you taking exquisite care of yourself. It leads to you having boundaries. It leads to you not getting swept by what other people are doing, and leads to creating healthy relationships. If you are dating and you're enough, you're freaking unstoppable. Right? If you are in relationship and you feel that you are enough, your partner's going to be all over you. There's nothing more magnetic than a woman who is resting in her own body and skin with who I am is enough. I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to perfect. I have nothing to perform for. And performance, right, is such a huge one around dating and the online space.
Yeah. And then we have like, if you believe, and it's not even about believing. It's like, because a lot of women are looking in the mirror going, you're good enough, you're beautiful, you're perfect. And that doesn't work. Icing on poo. If you eat it, it will still taste like poo. But it's like, if you're operating from your self-worth, right? By living differently, by everything we talk about on this podcast is about living from the sovereign woman, living from the heroine, living from your self-worth. When you're operating from your not enoughness, it's such a self-fulfilling prophecy, because everything, your saboteur is so sneaky. It's going to be like, oh, you know, if you prove yourself more at work, this has been a conversation I'm having with so many clients right now, is them being so burnt out and working, oh, so stressed out about work. And they go home and they wake up in the night and they have anxious sleeps and they're exhausted. This used to be me. And they're burning themselves out more, all for somebody else's business. And are the men doing that? Nope. Also, the men have more capacity to do that because they're working on a circadian rhythm cycle. Coming back to that, women have an infradian cycle rhythm, 28-day cycle. Every day we feel different. So if we're not listening to how we feel, if we're not honoring what we need, we are going to burn out. And we're doing it all in the name of what? Most women are underpaid for the amount of hours they're working, but they do it because they don't think there's another option. Because on some level, we're still trying to prove ourselves from two generations ago, where women started to have more rights. And now we're trying to prove, still unconsciously, that we're good enough. And yet it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because never, ever, ever will you feel good enough when you're trying to prove yourself. You'll only feel good enough when you're living in your self-worth, when you're anchored. That's the truth. And we've been brainwashed, conditioned, programmed to, and modeled by most of the women in our lives to sacrifice ourselves, that I don't matter. I don't need to put myself on my own list. And yet your life is yours. If you are not driving your life, writing your life, directing your life, dictating your life, and being the leading role in your movie, what's the point, right? Most women are playing an extra in their own movie. And so, yeah, wait, what's the title again? 3 Toxic Beliefs About Womanhood. So
you've just set up for number two, if you want to say.
Yeah, perfect. So the belief is that I am not enough. And so that for most women, that's at the root of everything, even the fantasy. So let's talk about that for a second. Like, the fantasy facade of who we're supposed to be is driven by, I'm not enough as I am. So I need to put on a show for everyone else so they don't find out that I'm not enough. Like, that's the little kid inside is like, oh my God. Okay. So I need a nicer car. I need a nicer house. I need a boyfriend on my arm. I need a wedding ring. I need to be married. I need to have a picket fence. I need to have a corner office. I need to have more money. I need to have, need to have, need to have. And never, ever, ever do you feel like you have enough when that part is leading. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And yet that self-worth is inside of you right now. You can simply start living your life from a different place and making choices from a different place within yourself. And you will feel enough without any of that stuff. You could lose your job. So when you're anchored in your center, you could lose your relationship and you can handle it. Doesn't mean you're not going to have not going to have grief. Of course, you'll have feelings, but you can handle it. You don't lose yourself because you're anchored.
And the second one is, I can't say no. I was like, you set it up by saying this, the self-sacrificing, right? That the second belief that's holding you back from fulfillment is this idea that women are supposed to be selfless, right? If I see another post a husband saying she's so selfless, like that's the celebration. Like, I'm so grateful that she's so selfless for our family.
Yes.
And that idea that then being selfish makes you a bitch, mm-hmm. right? Is insane. So I want to get rid of even selfish or selfless, and it's self-full, like self-aware, right? You're included. Like you said, you know, they're not even on the list. Like, women wake up and immediately think about everybody else's mm-hmm. needs. And it's interesting. I feel actually very freaking proud of myself. I've had like a huge breakthrough after our burnout episode of how, yes, right, in motherhood, I am never not thinking about my daughter, right, and tracking everything up for her. However, what I've noticed is since the requirement of what I'm required to give my daughter what she needs, I have to give myself what I need in order to even be able to do that. And it like I knew that intellectually, but now in just 2 weeks of actually prioritizing my self-care, prioritizing feeling good, prioritizing pleasure, prioritizing feeling deeply connected to my husband, the capacity that I feel in my body to do all the things that I want to do for my work, for my daughter, for my life, is like blowing my mind.
Yes.
And like, this is what I talked about on the interview with Mangala, right? Where she was just like, pleasure is essential. Like, it's not this like cute thing. Mm-hmm. And we don't say no because of the script of everybody else comes first. So we don't even pause long enough to say, do I have capacity for that? Would that feel good for me to do? Right? Like, we just say yes because we think that's what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're busy, guess who's in charge of your schedule, babe? You are, right? If you are not a victim to your schedule or to your work, right? Or to your life, you are in charge of being able to say no. And I'm also in I created a little peer mama mind with other mother entrepreneurs right now. And one of the things I said yesterday in our WhatsApp was, the greatest gifts of my life, or the greatest expansion of my life, has been directly proportional to when I say no to things, right? Like, to when I say no to what's not aligned makes room for what is. And you've heard me say this about dating. The women who are struggling in dating are the ones that are going out with idiots and the wrong people that are not aligned, and then telling themselves that they can't find anyone, rather than the faster you say no to who's not right, the faster you'll receive the one who is. But not being able to say no is how women essentially lose any sense of self, because then you're not connected to who you are and your own way, your own well-being, when you're making it about everyone else's.
Yeah. And that makes you like, okay, so women do that because they're afraid to hurt the other person's feelings. Oh God, so let them down. Also maybe afraid, like, what if there's no one else out there? Like, there's probably layers to it, but let's specifically speak about that. Worrying about other people's experience. Would you rather someone just kept dating you because they felt sorry for you, because they didn't want to hurt you? Or would you rather them say, hey, this is actually not a fit anymore, but thank you so much for our time together. I really wish you all the best. Or obviously, if you've been with them longer, maybe it's a little bit more thorough and thoughtful than that. But when you rather them lovingly and kindly set you free than date you because they feel like you can't handle the heartbreak, like, that is so fucked up. And most women that, I mean, I've worked with a lot of women over the years, and women. and, you know, even in business coaching, like, I've worked with thousands of people, and women have such a hard time saying no because they don't want to hurt other people. And I'm even catching my saboteur doing this with searching for a virtual assistant. I have had so many conversations, and when they reach back out to me, I'm like, well, my saboteur and the little kid inside is like, oh, like, I feel bad. Like, I don't know what to tell them. And rather than saying, thank you so much, here's what I loved. It's actually not aligned, but I wish you all the best. And if I need anything that you offer in the future, I'll reach out. Right. I am doing that, but I'm just noticing how much my saboteur is wanting to be either delaying on even saying anything at all, which is like where on the other side of that is the person feels ghosted, which, you know, not that you're not responsible for other people's experience. However, the kindest thing to do is to say no with a little lubrication. That's the key, right? Especially if you're a caring, loving, heart-centered woman who has a hard time saying no, the lubrication is going to make it so much easier. All you have to do is give a little love on the front of the no, give a little love on the back of the no. Do not give excuses, reasons, or justifications for your no, unless they ask after and it's a deeper conversation. But I would just say it's a no for me, mm-hmm. or it's not aligned, or it's not a fit. But on either side, thank you so much for the coffee. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for this time together. This is no longer feeling aligned, or this is a no for me. Because the more we give reasons, excuses, and justifications, that's a gateway for people to convince us otherwise. Yes. So if you have a hard time sticking with your no's, like you try and say no, that's probably why. So the clear no in the middle, the lubrication on either side. I wish you all the best with your dating, and you know, maybe I'll see you one day or whatever. I wrote a note of something you were saying earlier. I'm trying to piece together what it was. When you're honoring yourself and saying no, it's like one thing we do is the fantasy of the future. It's like, oh, I'll go to yoga tomorrow. Oh, I'll let go of this person in my business that's no longer aligned next month. Oh, I'll do this thing next year. Oh, I'll go to the immersion next year. Women say this all the time. You know, I'm so busy right now. I don't have time for either the immersion is my Greece one, but or even the reclamation, the online program. My life is so full right now, but I really want to do the reclamation. I'm going to do it in the fall. I'll do it next year. I'll do it next round. And I say, okay, but guess what? Next round, if this is your reality now, I 100% guarantee that you will be too busy then too. And you actually say yes to the program that your heart wants to do, if it's a yes, whatever that is. You say yes to the thing your heart wants to do, because then you're actually teaching yourself that you can create space for yourself no matter how busy you are. Because if you're so busy, there's a wound in that. That's like, that is so connected to not being able to say no and not feeling good enough. If you do not have space.
You feel how if I don't feel good enough, I don't prioritize anything that actually matters to me because mm-hmm. I'm living somebody else's life. Yes. So then I can't say no. And the saying no, that was so awesome, because saying no to the misaligned things makes space for the things that actually are.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
And that was my breakthrough. Like, I finally just got over myself. I'm like, what is this about? You're not prioritizing yourself. Like, get over yourself and like make this happen. And then to experience the benefit, like to actually experience the benefit in my marriage, in my body, in my relationship with my daughter, because I'm so full and alive and I've rested and taken care of myself and fed myself. Like, what are we doing? Like, how has the story of the self-sacrificing woman is the burnt out, exhausted woman that no one's aspiring to be, right? I've shared before, my mother, I never saw my mom happy. Ever. My mom was overworked, so angry, did not take care of herself, had resting bitch face. And I've, for the first time, like ever, have been able to access like more understanding, because I could see she's just had zero support. And like, she had no model of someone saying, you matter. Right. And this, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. Like, let's just get really clear about what this is for a second. I don't want to hurt their feelings because they can't handle it is a projection of I can't handle my feelings if they don't like me. It is not about you caring about hurting their feelings, my friend. Sorry. And how this came through is watching myself in motherhood. Mm-hmm. When my daughter is upset, when my daughter doesn't like a boundary, when my daughter wants to keep holding the phone or wants to keep holding a toy, but it's time to leave or it's time to go to bed and she throws a fit. And this is happening in homes all over the world. Everybody gives in. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want my kid to be upset. Right? I want to be a loving, gentle parent. So I'm never going to have them be upset. And then guess who's running the house? The kid.
And then guess who's a sociopath on dates? The kid.
The kid, right. You know, leadership is something everyone seems to forget about life and parenting and womanhood. Like you are like the main character energy. Like you are the leader of your life. You're the leader of your home. And can you imagine if I never let my kid be upset or have any upset and I gave in every single time, I'm actually teaching her she can't handle her feelings.
Yes.
But really, it's my feeling that is uncomfortable for me when my daughter is upset, which of course it fucking is, everyone. Like, this is not easy for me to do by any means. But what I can feel is when she's upset, it's my job to stay grounded and present and clear to say, I'm here in your upset and it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to not like this, right? And I think this is what's happening with teens right now. Everyone wants their teens to like them when it's actually like really important that your teen rebels against you and that you are the safe place they can handle it as they individuate and discover who they are. But we need to stop this. I don't want to hurt their feelings and really look at like your own relationship to your own feelings, right? Yes. Can I learn how to handle the feeling that comes up when people don't like me? Right. The feeling that comes up when I set a boundary. Right. Because I did tremendous, tremendous, intense trauma healing work around boundaries in 2019 and 2020. And most of the work I was doing was about breathing into what was happening somatically when I imagined saying no to things, when I imagined turning away misaligned clients, when I imagined changing the structure of my business. Right. And you know, how many podcasts in season two have we shared about that emotional intelligence? Like, is this, like, this is your power, the ability to be with your own feelings as a loving, kind, compassionate witness to them, but to not let them run your life.
It's not your feelings right? That run your life. It's the stories.
Mm.
And the stories are the gasoline on the feelings. So it feels like the feelings are like a wildfire spreading everywhere, yes. But it's the stories that are perpetuating the feelings, but just like learning to be in relationship with your feelings. That's like the skill that right? Every person on planet Earth needs to learn. Like what a different world would it be if people were in relationship with their own feelings and weren't projecting. We talked about this week on our WhatsApp chat, just about like letting go of, you know, other people. Like we feel responsible for other people and their experience. And it's like, and then we want to hold on to like the praise and the compliments and whatever. And like, actually neither are about us, right? Other people, we are a mirror and other people are projecting onto us as we're projecting onto other people, the pain-based stories that hurt like hell, the pleasure-based stories where we're constantly like in fantasy, pedestaling people, comparing ourselves, wishing we look like them, wishing we behave like them, wishing we had a life like theirs and the pedestal. And then the opposite where we're villainizing them. And ultimately we're both are just a distraction from the feelings that have been activated inside of you. Exactly. So when you learn to not attach to either of the stories and to just be in relationship with your feelings, I mean,
your world will look
very different. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say the third one?
Sure. Drum roll.
You were the most fired up about this one.
The third one, well, I mean, obviously, the third one is I have to be like everyone else. The third belief about womanhood that holds you back. And this one is, I mean, they're all so interconnected too, right? Yes. But this one is absolutely, it is the scripted woman. And it's not just the story of getting married, having kids, living in a picket fence. There are endless scripts and new ones coming out all the time.
All the time.
And we're just like, I mean, our phones are little marketing machines. We're just being constantly brainwashed by our phones. thinking we're,
this is what I you don't need. Know, chilling, this is what you should do.
This is what you should look like. This is how you should be running your business. This is how you're, this is the kind of life you should be having. Actually, a client of mine just was telling me about this book. I can't remember the term from the book, but I'll come back to it another episode. But basically it's about real desires versus essentially fantasy desires. And we were having a conversation about this and how so many women think it's their deepest desire to have a child and get married and have it. And it's like, never have they ever done any real soul searching, real getting to know their own desires, real getting to know their own body, real connection to their own heart, because that is your guide. Your heart is your guide. Your heart and your body will tell you when something is aligned for you. But most women are just living the scripted life they were taught to live without even knowing it. And it sounds kind of, I don't know, it sounds kind of almost offensive. Like, I'm not living a scripted life, but there are endless decisions that you make that you think you're making for yourself, but so much, and me too. I mean, I'm 17 years into untethering from my saboteur leading my life, but I always find new layers where it's like, holy shit, there's another one. You know,
yes.
These lies we believe about ourselves, yes, these limited beliefs that aren't true. And then on the other side of that, these fantasies of who we think we're supposed to be, and we're fighting for it thinking, I mean, I just think about Dr. Amanda again, coming back to, if you haven't listened to that episode, it is
epic. Episode.
Epic. Like, I think she's my favorite person we ever interviewed. It was the second episode of season two. And in that, like, I'm watching her on social media, watching her handle how much pushback she gets, because she's standing for women so fiercely. And she does not waver. She is like, this is my path. This is my truth. This is my voice. This is what I have to say, what I believe. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to be on my Instagram fighting me, right? But, and her message is all about like embracing where you are, embracing the magic and power and divinity of the phase that you're in as a woman. We are unbelievably brainwashed about what we're, to the point where women are actually going to plastic surgeons and being like, hey, can you make me look like this photo of me that's filtered
from AI,
instead of me being who I am? And they all in the name of self-love, like they think it's for confidence and self-love. But now you've now, okay, said with so much love, it is not your fault. If you relate to this, I say this with so much love. I'm fired up about the fucking industry that is brain, all industries, there's many of them that are brainwashing women to believe that they should be something other than they are, instead of coming home to the magnitude of who you are and discovering like every woman when she's home and alive inside of her own body is more beautiful than any woman who has a botched up, you know, whatever, the perfect cosmetic surgery. Like if you are home inside of yourself, you are your most beautiful. And the bonus or the not bonus, the most important thing is you'll actually feel it. You won't be chasing feeling beautiful. You'll be feeling beautiful. So you won't need to chase anything and you'll be able to age and not give a fuck what anyone thinks because you're home.
Ooh. And your radiance is directly proportional to your self-care, right? So the changing your face masks the way that you are numb, the way that you are overworking, the way that you are exhausted, the way that you are not taking care of yourself, right? Like when you get transparent and vulnerable and aligned, you can't run from yourself anymore, right? Like if you look tired, go to sleep, say no more in your life. You know, with this, I have to look like anyone or be like everyone else. You know, I also wanted to bring in that for me, this belief was about that there's a right way to be a woman, right? Which is what is inside, like women are destined to get married and make babies. You know, we're going to have Ruby Warrington on our podcast. I can't wait. Even as someone with a kid, I can't wait to have a conversation with the author of Women Without Kids, because she is starting a revolution around womanhood as well. But you know, I hear the like, oh, I could never do that. I could never start my own business, right? I could never take 6 months off and go travel the world, right? I could never whatever. Like if you start listening to what you tell yourself you can't do, I could never start pole dancing or start, you know, singing lessons. You can start to hear actually what your heart is saying, right? And the mind says, well, this goes against the script. All right. I have a master's degree. I paid tens of thousands of dollars to get a master's degree. And 2 years after getting said master's degree, I started my own business. And I think I want to plug the importance of being around other women, because if you are only sitting at home being brainwashed by your phone, you don't even realize the possibilities that exist for you.
Yes.
Right. And you've been sharing this in WhatsApp too, right? Like this woman that you've recently connected with that isn't in the business coaching industry, but is expanding what is possible. And I think why women don't give themselves permission to want what they want or do the deeper digging is because they don't even know that they're allowed to break free from the script or allowed to follow a path that they can't even imagine, because maybe none of the women in their life have ever done, you know, something like that. You know, when I went to Hawaii, no one supported me doing that. No one was saying, oh my God, this is so amazing. You bought a one-way plane ticket to Hawaii. You're going on a retreat. It was all, how are you going to do this? How much money do you have? What's going to happen to your business? Blah, blah, blah. Like, you have to be, this is now back to our friendship, right? Are you around, first of all, are you leaving your house? Are you going on women's retreats? Are you hanging out with people who aren't exactly like you? You know, I asked on Facebook yesterday, do you have mentors you're not paying? Because this is what I was thinking about. Like, do you have people that you're inspired by that are modeling the off the beaten path, right? Off the well-worn road life. And it's funny to me when I think about entrepreneurship, my dad was an entrepreneur. My dad quit his corporate job and studied to build his own business. And there I was at 25 being like, ooh, can I start my own business? Oh, I don't know. Can I? I have a master's degree. Should I do it? And I had all this like stuff around it when my dad had actually modeled for me that it was possible. And so I thought about that when you were saying about the script. It's like, if we don't even give ourselves permission to see what else could be possible, that's how we fall into the script and then don't do the deeper work of saying, maybe I don't want to be married. Maybe I could have an amazing partnership where we don't get married. Or, wow, do I want kids because I think I'm supposed to, or because I want to get love from a kid? Mm. Or do I have children in my life that I give so much to and that I don't actually have to follow the responsibility of what it means to have a kid, you know, around? There's kids in my life that I can give to.
A tattoo on your face. Tattoo on your face. That's from,
you know, like I'm so grateful for my path of being involved in the consciousness community that I was, because it was people that were all ages from all walks of life. It wasn't a bunch of coaches in a room. It was all walks of life, all beautiful, powerful people living different truths, but coming together in service up to maturation. Like that's what the community was about, like wholeness and maturation in that group. And those were my mentors. Like I was in my 20s seeing the way 40, 50, 60 year old women, you know, lived.
I remember when we started doing this podcast, you would talk about how all your friends have always been older, and I'm quite a bit older than you. Oh, I'm just kissed my microphone. Whoops. I'm quite a bit older than you. And I remember that conversation and how I actually really love that about you. That's something you've been talking about a lot about lately. About wanting to grow more community with women who are older than you. And I feel like the gift in that, and my favorite clients to work with are women who are older than me. And it's like, I have one of my favorite compliments ever was a dear client who said, Kate, I'm as old enough to be your mother. She was 71 at the time. And you are wise enough to be my grandmother. And I was like, wow, this woman has been in spiritual, personal development world, spiritual path since the 70s. Wow. And that was such an honor for me to be able to support her, and that the fact that my gifts were still relevant to her, and that she wasn't like, oh, you're younger than me. What do you know? When I first started coaching, I remember hearing that all the time. Like, occasionally it still happens. Like, how are you going to help me? You've never had kids. How are you? Oh, you're younger than, and all of that is just story. When your soul is drawn to someone and you're meant to work with them, you're meant to work with them. That's your soul. That's your heart. And she felt that with me. And we have really beautiful. Cool other things coming up, me and this beautiful, magical woman, but she came to the immersion last year. And it's like it's that's the again the Dr. Amanda episode, like the us honoring and valuing women who've been before us, especially, I mean, not unconscious women who are like victims and gossiping or whatever. It's women who've been before us who are walking the path of truth, and that the world you surround yourself with is everything. Like, I'm so happy that you brought that up, and we should probably wrap it up soon, but this is everything, who you surround yourself with. And one thing I'm doing in my life right now, because I'm about to expand into the, well, both of us are, but expand into the next level of my work in the world. And we're doing that with the New Truth as well. And you're doing that with your business. So I am actively reaching out, connecting with connections, with connections, with connections, and meeting new people to find out like what I can learn from them, what they're up to, what, and expanding. It's the same as we talked about on last week's episode about going to new places to meet new parts of yourself. When you're around new people in new places, you will meet new parts of yourself. So following your heart and following, like letting yourself, if you're afraid to go somewhere new because you're like, oh, I'm not going to know anyone, be excited about that because you don't know anyone. So who knows who's inside of that room that can be a model for you, or that can be a support for you, or a mentor for you, or a deep loving friendship for you, or a travel buddy for you. There is, we say this every week, who we surround ourselves with is everything. It's everything. And these women exist all over. I think of the women in my community. I just had one of my clients reflect to me. I had shared that a saboteur belief I have coming up about writing my book is that I'm not a writer, quote unquote. And she sent me a message and said, Kate, you're a storyteller. You absolutely are going to write a book. And as soon as she said that, I was like, holy shit. She reframed, not that I was believing the belief or like letting it rule me, but sure, it has effect for sure. And she said that and it set me free. And she's a woman that has worked with me on the path for the last year. Like, even them, right? Like, these women are everywhere. Women who want to grow, women who are taking full responsibility, women who are following their heart, who are marching to the beat of their own drum, who are not following the masses, who are not giving their power away to their doctor, to their parents, to their friends, who are actually following their own truths and surrounding themselves with other people who do. This is the key.
And the reminder that you actually need them. Yes. Right. Like, if you are going to break free from the script, you can't do it alone. Right. That's why you work with a coach. That's why you create your own coven of friends. It's why you go on retreats. That's why you go where these people are. And we are sick because of social media. It's a false sense of connection. Right. You can certainly be inspired by people, but don't tell yourself that you're making friends on Instagram. Right. When it's a screen, go be with people in real life, go sit in circles with other women, go get on phone calls or have coffee, right? You know, you guys are writing in the New Truth Movement Facebook group, like, who lives and whatever. How about just say, does anyone want to have a phone date? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, they don't have to live where that you live. They can be on the phone with you. Kate and I have, our entire relationship is like 90% WhatsApp, for crying out loud. Right? So let's break free from that. You don't need them to be in your city, but people that are following the New Truth, they'll get on the phone with you. You can have a coffee chat, like, who's on my time zone. You know, I wake up at 7 a.m. and, or I listen to the episode every Tuesday. Who wants to debrief the episode on Tuesday nights with me? Right? Like, that's what's possible. Because again, I think when we started this episode talking about how much we love each other in our relationship, it's like, I've been in contact with you every week for the past 4 years.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's impossible to not be growing and expanding the way we are, not only as a result of our personal work, but by committing to this thing together. Yes. So the possibilities are endless when you break free from the script, from the old beliefs, right? There is no right way to be a woman. There's just the woman that you are, and she's more than enough. She's spectacularly beautiful, and she deserves to have the life that is fulfilling to her, that she can go to bed at night saying, it's all I've ever dreamed of because it fits my truth, not what other people want for me, right? We wish that for you time and time again. And this was so good. I feel so alive.
Yes. Right. Oh my gosh, me too. I love this. I love the second season. So fun. And also, like, the, you know, you think, oh, I got to do that thing for that person. I got to say yes to this thing, yes to that thing. And yet when you, and then you wonder why you have anxiety or you can't sleep at night or what, and like, inner peace comes. The number one thing women say when they awaken their heroine is like, I just feel calm most of the time. Just feel calm. Like, what is this calm feeling? But calmness comes from following your heart, listening to your heart, and actually choosing what satiates you. This is your life. Time to live it. All right. We'll see you next week.
See you next
time. We love
you.
Spread the good word of the new truth to all your sisters around the world. Okay. Lots of love.
Hi, it's Kate. Thanks so much for listening to the New Truth Podcast. For more of Catherine and I, come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group. We are in there. That's where we're sharing all about our programs and our free workshops that we do. You can come join us there and ask as many questions as you want about the podcast episodes, about dating, relationships, any struggles you're having out there. We would love to support you. So come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group, and we will see you soon.